This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guests this week are the three founding members of Signal Ensemble, who is currently has a terrific production of The Weir by Connor McPherson. So let's have each of you introduce yourselves to our audience.
Ronan Mara, I'm the General Artistic Director.
I'm Joe Stearns. I'm the Managing Artistic Director.
Hi, I'm Christopher Prentice, and I'm the Producing Artistic Director.
Okay, Chris, let me ask you this. This is your directorial debut in The Weir.
That's correct.
So tell us about the play. What can people expect when they come to see the play?
Well, it's basically a storytelling play. It's an Irish play written about 10 years ago, I suppose, by Connor McPherson. And it's basically a new woman moves to town from Dublin, and there are the regulars in this particular bar. And they get the news that she's coming in. And when she does arrive, then they start telling these stories that start kind of innocuously and keep moving through until she ends up telling the her own story, which is the creepiest one of all.
So it's an Irish play set in the 1990s.
Right.
In a pub, and they're kind of ghost stories, right?
They are.
Kind of the traditional Irish ghost stories, you might say.
Exactly, and lots of themes that go throughout Irish stories, like ghosts and fairies and death and obviously drinking.
Oh, obviously.
Obviously, we just say obviously.
And Joe, you are a character in the play. Tell us about your character, because you kind of anchor the show.
Yeah, that's right. My character is Brendan, who is the owner of the bar, which all the action takes place in. He's the only one who doesn't tell a story.
That's right.
Although he sort of gets these little sort of, I like to call them sort of Irish haiku moments at the beginning and the end. Just sort of these observations about his place and the place of all his friends in this small town. I like Chris was saying, it's this play is really rooted in the sort of tradition of Irish storytelling.
Who are your other cast members? Because you have a terrific cast.
Oh, yeah,
I must say, one of the things that makes Signal Ensemble step out as one of the better theater companies in Chicago is you guys really know how to cast.
It's been very fortunate actually like that. To a man, they're all fantastic. Ted Hurl, John Zinn, Vincent Mahler, and Melanie Keller are all in it and are all fantastic.
And Ronan, how come you sat out one? Because you've been directing most of the play.
Yeah, I've directed most of our shows, not all, but most. But we're trying to bring in, you know, at least once a year with, you know, per season, bring in somebody else to direct them. I can't.
So how did your partner do?
Well, he did a fantastic job, absolutely, as I knew he would, no doubt about it. So yeah, he did excellent. I knew he was ready. We'd been talking about a couple of plays that, a few plays actually that he'd been wanting to do, and this was the one that came up. So
well, I'll tell you. You couldn't have picked better timing, because I was telling some people, they were asking me what one of the best shows in town, and certainly The Weir is. Mm-hmm. And you're getting good audiences?
We are.
Yeah?
Yeah. For the first time, we had a sellout. Not the first time, the sellout, but the early in the run last weekend. You know, second week of the run is always kind of difficult once you're waiting for reviews and people to hear about the show. And somehow the word is getting out and people are coming out to see it.
Well, that's terrific. Have you had any reviews from the Irish press?
We had a guy from the Irish American News came, okay. Frank West, and unfortunately that's a monthly publication, so I don't think he's going to be able to review it, but he seemed to like it a lot.
Well, that says a lot. Well, okay, let's get down to it now. Ronan, I'll start with you. Mm-hmm. What got you, the three of you guys, to start a theater company? And give us the background. This is your what? You're in your fifth year now?
We're in our fourth.
Fourth year.
We're fourth. The three of us met. We had been in, this was back when I used to act, in a production of Hamlet together. And
where was that at?
And it was at Chase Park Theater.
You guys met here in Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you guys are from out of town.
We're all originally from out of town, but we didn't go to college or anything like that. We met, we met on a production of Hamlet and, it's pretty typical. Just, you know, made fast friends and hung out for about a year. And then, I had been writing a play, which ended up being the first play we did, Learning to Fly.
I do remember that.
And Joe and Chris, I had been overhearing them talk about doing a production of Much Ado About Nothing with the company that Joe had been involved with. And I had always been interested, you know, my ears were always piqued when I was hearing them talk about that. And one day we were just talking about both shows and decided to start it up pretty much for initially for the sake of doing those two shows. Mm-hmm. We wanted to get it off the ground. So it was pretty much revolved around getting Learning to Fly Much Ado About Nothing done. So yeah, that was basically in a nutshell the start.
And you guys didn't mind the fact that he wrote the first play you did, right?
No, that was I think this might even be true. The sort of how we started the company is Chris and I were talking about Much Ado and knowing that Ronan was a playwright, I think having a conversation with him said, well, that sounds fantastic. I'd love to help you produce that. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, just because of those two shows, it just sort of snowballed from there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And now what now that you've got this theater group going, how do you make decisions on what plays you're going to pick? I mean, there's three of you, right? What are your titles?
I'm the general artistic director.
Okay. And Joe, you're
managing artistic director.
And okay. I'm the producing artistic director. But what it just sort of means is that okay. the three of us, mm-hmm. ordinarily, you know, there will be one artistic director and like a managing director, but mm-hmm. we don't really want to play it that way. There's three of us that all have very specific sort of artistic ideas. And so we have this triumvirate, that we work. And so we get together and fight about shows. And you know, decide what we want to do.
Well, with three, what is that? Does two votes win, or how does it work?
It usually ends up being unanimous after a lot of discussion.
Yeah, it's been pretty harmonious overall. I mean, we usually want all three of us to agree before we make, especially a decision as big as what show we're going to do. We usually
well, you guys are about variety. Tell us some of the plays that you've done in the past, because I think I've caught just about all the plays you guys have done.
I think you have, well, again, Learning to Fly and Much Ado About Nothing and Catch 22, Wedding for Gatto, Landslide, Seascape, She Stoops to Conquer, Closer, we're doing The Weir now. What am I forgetting?
Mr. Dumbwaiter and Dumb
Zoo
Story.
Dumbwaiter and Zoo Story, of course. Yeah.
Well, I remember Catch 22 I thought you guys did a terrific job on that, and that's when I tipped off Chris Jones mm-hmm. to come and see you guys, and he did come, and he liked mm-hmm. your show, and now I he's pretty much a regular, isn't he? Or at least the Tribune is a regular.
I've gotten the Tribune a few times. I think Chris has only came to – I think the only one he's come to is Catch 22, but we've had other reviewers from the Trib come, though.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's great. And what's the process? What's the philosophy behind the plays you pick, because the variety is there? Is it because of the ensemble? Or?
Yeah, I mean, one of the main things we're looking for is you know we like ensemble shows as much as possible, and you know, especially shows that have specifically that have roles for people in our ensemble that we think would excel in them or enjoy them, or we'd like working on them together.
Okay, Joe, tell us who else is in the ensemble, because you guys have some talented people.
Yeah, we sure do. The ensemble has changed and grown a bit, but we've in the Weir right now, Melanie Keller is fantastic. We're lucky to have her. Who else? We have a great sort of design and production team who's sort of in the ensemble. Anthony Ingram, who's our technical director, who started out as a stage manager with us, is sort of really
and also played
irreplaceable.
Lucky.
Yeah.
The second time.
Yeah, that's right. The second time with Waiting for Gatto, did the Lucky speech. Brandon Bruce, who is also the artistic director of Backstage Theater Company. Did we say?
We have Melanie and Aaron Snook is
Aaron
a member.
Snook, yes.
Philip Winston, Vincent Lonergan is a member.
These are top people.
George Ann Charouse. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. And Chris, tell us about the set design, because you guys do a terrific work. I mean, it's like being in an Irish pub for the Weir set, but that's kind of a trademark you guys also.
Yeah, Melania Lancey is the designer of that set, and she's done several of our productions. She Stoops and...
Yeah, She Stoops, the con was tremendous, too, and the upstairs stage.
Exactly. And Catch 22 was her first time working with us, and that was a crazy awesome set. but she just went and looked at a bunch of pictures of Irish pubs, and the whole idea was that... with such an intimate space as the downstairs studio, that without you actually sitting at a table and having a beer, to create the illusion that you're actually in the bar and that you feel like you want to know these people and be their friends. So that's the idea of the intimacy. And so the details are key.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it was, I've been in a few Irish pubs and it was very accurate, but Joe, tell us about the accents. 'Cause in the Weir, one of the things that I liked And in general, if you guys do a period piece, usually your accents are excellent.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that can be a lot directly attributable to Phil Timberlake, who's our dialect coach for this show and for our past shows, Closer and She Stoops to Conquer. Yeah, just sort of took us through really specifically what, you know, all the sort of phonetic pronunciations and things about Irish dialects.
It sounded really, really authentic.
Kicked it into us.
Yeah, but I mean, it became out very natural.
Yeah, it's actually, that's sort of funny. The tendency after going through rehearsal and shows of doing that accent all the time, it's sort of hard to stop after the show ends.
Is it really?
You find yourself sort of talking to people about, you know, sort of, I can't turn it off, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, you got to go to the Irish pubs and then, like, stay
right.
After
the, yeah, and test it out. See if, right, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. See if it works.
I'm sure it will work. Well, you guys, your next show coming up is what?
Hamlet.
And you are directing?
Yes.
Okay. And this gentleman on the end, Chris, is playing Hamlet.
That's mm-hmm. correct.
I have had the honor of seeing you play Hamlet before. And
yes,
I think it's you are one of the best at doing that role.
Thank you very much.
I mean, and that's saying a lot because that's one of the great roles in theater. So is this like an anniversary thing, bringing it back?
There was a little bit of a thought. I mean, we felt like it would be appropriate, you know, based on this is where we, you know, that's what we met on working on that show together, you know. But, you know, we knew we wanted to do a Shakespeare, you know, this season, and it just sort of came around full circle that we should just go with what.
And who's going to be in that?
Well, it's a huge cast. It's 16 people.
Just a couple of the main.
Right, I'm playing Hamlet, and Joe's playing Horatio.
Horatio.
Very good, Joe.
And Don Bender is Claudius.
Don Bender, okay.
Meredith Simpson is playing Gertrude. Our ensemble members, Aaron Snook is Laertes. We have Aaron Myers playing Ophelia. Other ensemble members, we have Philip Winston playing Marcellus and the Gravedigger. Ron Cassava's in the cast.
Now, how are you approaching the show? Is it going to be any different than some of the other productions we've seen lately?
We're pretty much like anything else. We're going pretty straightforward with it. It's in a non-specific time period, yet classically themed, if that makes any sense. It's not going to be a modern interpretation at all. In fact, my designers and I, when we talk about it, we're loosely considering it as inventing a period almost. It's not going to be specifically Elizabethan or anything.
Black leather like Chicago Shakespeare.
No, it's going to be, that's the best way I can describe it at this point.
Okay.
But yeah.
And it's going to be at Chopin Theater in the upstairs.
Yeah, in the upstairs. That's right. It opens April 21st.
Okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. Now tell us why you use Chopin Theater. I like the place. Mm-hmm. And what makes you determine having it in the downstairs theater or the upstairs?
Well, I think we like the downstairs a lot just because of the flexibility of it. I mean, it poses its own problems with those four poles down there. It tends to be difficult to work around, but we do like how it's basically just a raw space.
Well, you guys did a great job with it on the wear. I mean, it's mm-hmm. really not in the way at all, and it almost acts like the barrier, the size of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's used to our advantage.
Yeah.
Show, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, and in regards to how we, you know, whether we use upstairs or downstairs, it just depends on the size of the show. I mean, you know, if we know we're going to have a big cast. I mean, you can put a lot of people down there, but there's not a lot of room downstairs in the dressing rooms.
Yeah, I saw a couple of shows there where some groups had a large cast mm-hmm. that just didn't work. They were tripping over one another.
Yeah. So we tried it out with She Stoops to Conquer and really liked how that worked. And so our goal is always to do one big, you know, big show per season if we can. So we'd like to use that space for it, and we like Ziggy and Leela and just working there. So
yeah, and I think it's a great location, and mm-hmm. I think it helps the theater group having roots in a location. People get used to where you're at,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
I'm sure that can make a difference.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, each of you, mm-hmm. what you think is the major accomplishment of the Signal Ensemble. Let's start with Chris.
Okay, let's start with me.
Let me premise it by saying that I see you as one of the finest young actors in Chicago.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And the guy next to you is pretty darn good, too.
Yeah, he has.
Between the two of you.
You're very kind.
But, well, actually, I think that's what I'm most proud of, is that when people come and see their shows, they always mention the acting. And so the basic premise behind what we do is to clearly and cleanly give the playwright's play through the actors, using the actors as focal point, giving the play. So there's not a lot of extra trappings on top. So it's really all about the acting. So,
yeah, you don't reinterpret it. You don't do Shakespeare on motorcycles.
Exactly. Kind of exactly. So that's what I'm most proud of, is that we've been able to stick to that, and people have responded well to the acting and the stories that we tell.
Yeah, and the play selection, too. You guys have really good judgment. And Joseph, you are the managing director, and what are you most proud of?
I've got to sort of go kind of along with what Chris said. We've sort of stayed, I don't know, that sounds sort of grandiose to say we've stayed true to our principles or something, but we started out with an idea, and we sort of kept to it that we're presenting plays the way that we think they were meant to be interpreted, and not I love this quote that if I can pull a quote from, I think Chris Pyatt wrote about us in his review for Catch-22, exceeding expectation doesn't have to mean defying convention.
I couldn't agree with that more, that's
what we do really well, and that we've been able to sort of build and maintain this fantastic ensemble.
So you would say you're as an ensemble, you view it as you want to be traditional to what the playwright intended to do.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, making it really dynamic and exciting and accessible.
Well, I think you're doing a good job of that. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I personally think that the work has consistently improved every season, every show.
Yes, I think so
we keep
too.
Getting better. And I think what I'm most proud of about that is we continue to do it with three artistic heads. You know, I mean, we're both, you know, all three of us are all
very passionate. All right, let me throw it open. The three of you are passionate. Mm-hmm. How do three guys still end up friends and keep the quality up without killing one another? How does that work?
The bar, pretty much. I think no. It's really,
as
you know,
Gary,
it's really
said,
not
dice or cards, high card wins. Or what?
we're pretty fortunate. You know, we just get along pretty well. I mean, that sounds kind of silly, maybe, but you know, there's a lot of things that we've done, like something like She Stoops to Conquer. I knew nothing about it, but you know, that was Chris's suggestion. You know, and I would have never in a million years.
That is an ambitious
come up with production. It, you know, and you know, when I read it and it initially I wasn't sure how I felt about it, but he recognized it as something that would have been good for the ensemble, and I agree.
So Chris, you pushed that.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's why I wanted to jump on top of it, because I thought, okay, I can get into this, you know.
Right. Who championed the where?
So
your
that was mine too.
That was
mine and Joe's.
I wholeheartedly supported. Yeah. Well we were just talking the other day that we tend to do a lot of shows, I think, that we're terrified of doing, that we don't see how there's any way we could possibly pull it off.
Well, give me an example.
Waiting for Godot.
Yeah,
Catch-22.
Yeah.
Which Waiting for Godot was tremendous.
Yeah,
I hated that play because I've seen it butchered. And again, I think the highest compliment, when you can take a play that a lot of us have seen, just at Stoops the Conqueror was another one that I saw butchered. And then you guys make it work on stage. Mm-hmm. It really says a lot.
That was another example of that. When Joe was sort of the pusher on that, and he suggested that to me, and I told him, the very first thing I told him was, absolutely not. There's no way we're doing that play. And waiting for God. Yeah, we got into it though. You know, and ended up.
How did you do it? You did it. You brought it back.
Well, it was one of the best experiences of my life. You know, so you never know. It's good to hear from other people. You know.
Well, sometimes a case has to be. So you really go for things you guys are terrified of.
Right.
It makes you expand.
That seems to have worked so far. Yeah.
Well, and you know, and I'm trying to think now. Let me see. Seascape. That was totally different. Mm-hmm. You did win an award. Tell us.
Yeah. About that. Well. Yeah. Our costume designer Laura Dana won a Jeff for that, and then
an
After Dark award for it, and then both.
That was terrific. The costuming and
yeah. Oh yeah, they were fantastic. That's part of the reason I knew I could do the show. I knew she could do the job. So, and then George Ann and Aaron Snook were both nominated for playing the lizards.
Well,
that,
what was amazing is they had. Earlier, there had been another production the same play. And
what are the chances after 20 years or something?
The last time we were done in Chicago was 1984, and we
something
both
like
came
that.
Up with the idea at the same time. Yeah,
yeah, and it was like cool, came right up, and you know, you think, well, do we not do it? But I was like, it's been this long, there can be two. We're just gonna do it.
They both kind of worked, although I think you guys certainly had the edge. I thought particularly the costuming and in that show. The lizard.
She really
remember,
went out,
I emailed you, Chris, for a photo, and you wouldn't do it, and that was so
that was,
smart of you as marketing, because I would have kind of given it away, you know, an impact of the show.
Yeah, that was it was always fun to watch the audience reaction when they first popped up, those lizards. Yeah,
yeah, that
I knew they were coming, and I was terrified. I'm
right, giant freaking lizards.
Well, what got you guys to do Zoo Story and Dumbwaiter?
I think that's a
who championed that.
Well, we had that that space allotted for another show that didn't work out because of just some personal problems with various people, but. We needed to fill the spot really quickly and with something simple and something
talk about trying good. Tough places. Yeah, something right. simple.
But we'd,
two
we'd
of the greatest
done,
short stories.
We've
short
done one X. You know, we'd done that sort of thing before with Gano and Seascape, and yeah, just one X with two actors, two characters each seemed to be something we could do really well. And yeah, I don't know about I'm sure Chris as well, but the Zoo Story terrified me.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly.
And that functioning device of the dumbwaiter and the dumbwaiter terrified me every night.
Which, thank you, work. I played.
Yes, that's
I played
right.
The dumbwaiter.
Yeah. You played the dumbwaiter.
played the title, the title role in the dumbwaiter.
And then what got you to pick the closer?
Closer.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd always liked to play. We were gonna do another. That was another example of us. We were gonna do another show in that slot. And I just for any number of reasons, we just decided we couldn't do it. So, I had already had people sort of attached to that show, like Georgianne and Brandon and Aaron, and so I just kind of threw it out there. I was like, well, let's talk about something else we can do with us, with you guys in it. And I believe it was actually Georgianne actually that said that, you know, mentioned Closer, and I'd always liked to play. And so we just went with it from there.
That was a good choice. I enjoyed that. And what about tell us about Landslide? How did you get these two guys to go along with that?
Well,
you are the author. You're the playwright.
Right. Well, they were incredibly supportive of it at the very beginning. Again, you know, it helped that we started with, you know, with a play of mine, you know, to begin with. And, you know, and I really. They really were supportive because that first draft that they approved it on was not what it ended up being. You know, I wrote
see,
about 10 drafts.
Yo, tell us what you saw in his play.
Well, Ronan is very good, first of all, with dialogue.
Yes, he is.
So it's very smart and it's very crackly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what I latched onto first. When you can just sort of hear, you know, some plays you read and you can't actually see how it's going to be, but his play is definitely just – you can hear how it's going to work. I think that's a sign
of a really strong play. Yeah, I agree. Right. I've read – it jumps off. When you're reading it, it's talking to you.
Right, exactly. And so I think that's what I initially really, really liked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you got nominated for that. That had to be giving you a certain amount of recognition. I mean, all writers wonder if anyone thinks my stuff is any good, right?
Well, yeah, well, it did. You know, and honestly, the thing that was best about it, too, you know, I wrote it, you know, it was a very personal play, and I had written the part for Georgianne for her, too, that was based on my sister, and she was nominated, too. So it was kind of a nice way to just sort of be, you know.
It was quite strong.
It was good.
So now let's get back to the where now. Let's give a little commercial for it. We'll have Chris, you're the director, so give us where and when, and so that people can know.
All right. This is The Weir by Connor McPherson that is showing in the studio at the Chopin Theater through March 24th.
Where's the Chopin Theater?
The Chopin is at Division and Milwaukee in Wicker Park, 1543 West Division. And it runs Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 3.
Okay. And give us they can go to your website and get tickets.
Exactly. Signalensemble.com.
Okay.
You can purchase tickets there or call 773-347-1350. 773-347-1350.
You know the radio rule.
I heard one of your shows earlier today that
okay.
you mentioned.
All right. Okay.
Double. I cheated.
Well, it reinforces, and the response has been tremendous, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been great.
And I know it's I think it's on one of our top picks because all the reviewers have been kind to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they have been.
Yeah.
Yes, they have been.
Now, are you getting an Irish audience at all?
I just go and out on stage, and then you know, so I don't know what kind of audience we're getting. I did hear an Irish accent in the lobby buying a ticket the other day, and it terrified me. How's my accent? Am I doing?
And some of them will let you know too if they got a few cocktails in them.
Yeah, right.
But you can just pour them again this
time. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let me ask you something. And this sounds hokey, but it looked like the guys were drinking beer. Is that beer they're drinking?
No.
That's
sure.
Sure,
we don't want to destroy the illusion of anything.
I mean, yes.
Well, the reason I asked that is years ago, Brad Armacost did Faith Healer. and he was drinking the Guinness, and he was drinking, he would drink three of them during his monologue. And he did in afternoon, and he did four on a Saturday and a Sunday. And they said he's the, and he never missed a line. He was fabulous. They say he staggered out by the 8:30 show.
He's my hero. Yeah.
But he sounds a little terrifying to me.
we did a run through in rehearsal. Tried to with real beer and whiskey
just to see what would happen. Yeah, well, not the whiskey.
Fell apart pretty quickly.
Well, the whiskey is the problem.
Yeah, the beer most of you guys you could handle. It's mixing them, right?
Sure.
Yeah. But all right, now let me ask you this: each of you, first as a group, where are you guys heading as a group? Where are you going to be in 5 years?
Hopefully the same, just bigger, brighter, shinier,
better with your own space, maybe, or is that the plan?
Sure, maybe that'd be great if it's the right kind of space. We really do like doing the once a year sort of huge, grandiose things like She Stoops to Conquer and Hamlet, which you couldn't do in, say, for instance, the space that we're in right now. But the same, only more so, is what I'd like to say.
And would you, are you guys planning on making this a full-time gig for each of you?
Oh, well.
Is that in the plan?
That would be
great. Think that'd be a big all of us.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Okay, now, Rona, where are you going to be in 5 years? Tell me where you plan to be.
Well, I plan to still be here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Doing this. I hope to have, at least two more plays written.
Okay, your goal is two more.
Yeah, it takes me a long time, so I'm.
On one now?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Great. It just takes me a really long time, so I'm hoping to get a couple more out of the next 5 years. And just I know it's for me the whole it's all just about getting better for me. I want to keep doing diversified shows, and I want to keep getting better at doing them.
You want to keep directing, right?
Directing and writing.
What about acting? I know you got an acting degree. You told me that earlier.
Yeah. Well, I very specifically stopped.
I see the smiles on your two premier actors.
Well, I very specifically stopped because I love acting and I love actors, but I prefer working from the other side of the table on that. And I feel that I have a lot more to offer from that standpoint. For the longest time, I wanted to do all three, act, write, and direct, but I want to be great at it. So figure two.
Okay, we'll two out of three.
Two out of three is enough, right? So, and right,
Joe,
where
do you plan on being?
God, my parents ask me this all the time, and I never know how to answer. Doing this. I don't think that we have any shortage of ideas. We're never going to run out of great ideas anytime soon. And just being able to act on all of those,
so
I think we're going to try to grow exponentially as the next few years go by.
Chris, what about you?
I think I'd agree with these guys about for the company. I'd certainly like to just keep doing what we're doing. I think we're on the right track.
I do too. Yeah,
and I think audiences are responding to that, and I think that's really important. So I'd like to for the company be just 5 years more and 5 years better, and that'll.
What about you personally?
I like to be 5 years more and 5 years better. But I think something that's been coming up with us recently is how do we let the company grow and expand. And so, I'd like to go and work other places and, spread the good word of Signal and then let other people
come in. Well, weren't you recently at Chicago Shakespeare?
Understudied over there.
You got to go on a few times.
Yes. Yes. That was rather terrifying. But
yeah, that's one of the great places if you're an actor to work.
Right. No, and it was amazing. And I'm very glad I did that.
Can you see your guys as an equity company where you guys can all make a living and similar to like Writers Theater or Early Steppenwolf?
Well, but the thing about Chicago is that there's so many great non-equity companies. And friends of ours have moved to New York or come back or whatever, and they talk about that equity. It's so important to be equity there in order to even do anything. And a lot of actors here will come from New York and then not be able to work because some of the great companies don't have union contracts. So
that's true.
That's something we're probably going to have to figure out.
Plus, if you do go equity, if you try and compete, you're all of a sudden you're up into a plateau where you're really competing against some pretty tough.
Right.
And if they only have three or four equity contracts, you're not going to get in the show. Or now you got a chance of getting into the shows. But eventually, if you have enough of your own productions going and you have enough budget, then I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe, are you going to keep acting too? Because
I think
you and Chris really are two of the better actors.
A look at my resume right now is just sort of a long list of signal. Just because we've been so busy and I've been really wanted to sort of invest all my energy into this company. Yeah, if we're going back to the, you know, 5 years from now thing, I'd love to work with, you know, all the great companies. There are a plethora of them in Chicago.
Well, and you guys got to have a lot of IOUs out because you guys have been bringing in a lot of the top actors in town in your production. So I don't know if that reciprocates at all, but it
there's a lot of great people out there. Yeah.
And the casting you guys have done. The Wear, I thought was super. Tell us about the young lady. I think she is so super.
Melanie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is she fantastic. The only female you have in your
no,
ensemble?
No, we have Georgiane Cherousse. Okay. And Stephanie Eamon is our production stage manager. Okay. So we do have three. So we only have two female members in the acting ensemble, but we have one on the tech side too. So, but yeah, Melanie's been with us since the beginning. She played Beatrice in Much Ado About Nothing, and we fell in love with her there. And ever since, we always make sure we've got something for her because we love putting her on stage.
Yeah, well, she certainly is one of the best. Mm-hmm. So tell us now once more on the show because mm-hmm. we're just about out of time. I want to get one more plug in the show because The Wear is a tremendous night of theater. The warmth that the show conveys and the Irish storytelling. I mean, it's like being in a pub in Ireland.
Yeah, that's the idea.
And I had a lady with me who I generally don't take to Irish plays because she really doesn't like them. And if it isn't a musical, and she just absolutely loved it. She was telling all her friends about it. So that's a real compliment.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the play, even though it sort of consists of a series of monologues and the sort of the framework around that, it's almost sort of more than the sum of its parts. You know, all the everything adds
it's
up.
It's a friendship play, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And absolutely. That's the final note you left on, I think. I keep seeing in things written about it that it casts a spell, and I think that's one of the best ways to put it. At least that's how it should be. It should be sort of magical.
Well, Chris, you should be congratulated for your directorial debut.
Thank you very much.
And,
very proud of
it. Of course, it helps having a great script and having a top cast, doesn't mm-hmm. it?
Certainly. I could not ask for a better cast nor a better script, really.
Well, let's hope the Jeff Committee recommend it, right?
Yes.
Yes, they did.
And they've been obviously they'll all come out to see the play. Mm-hmm. And you know, they have pretty good judgment on who they pick for awards. And your guys are in the fight, and that's half the battle. And the next one coming up is
Hamlet.
Mm-hmm. Hamlet. When is that going to open?
That opens on April 21st on the main stage of the Chopin.
Mm-hmm. At the main stage. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So, we're looking forward to that. Right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Folks, remember, The Wear is definitely worth seeing. And thank you for listening. Go see a play this week.